Now would be a great time for you to get your outlines out. We'd like for you to have an outline when you came in so that you can take notes and also write down thoughts that maybe God brings to your mind. In your Bibles, if you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, that's going to be our text, the major part of our text for tonight. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. The words are going to come up on the side screen. You can follow right along. You know, with Westbridge and our Saturday night schedule being what it is, we have always used the week before Easter as the start of our Easter celebration, because really two incredible things took place that weekend that Jesus went to the cross. There was his death on the cross that happened, and then 3 days later, the resurrection. We really want to separate those two and understand them both for what they are and not kind of get lost or have one moment overshadow the other. So we kind of focus tonight on what happened when he went to the cross. You know, that entire weekend of Jesus' death and resurrection, it is the most important moment in human history. There is no more important moment than that weekend. But if you were to look at that entire event, if you were supposed to look at that whole weekend without any thought for eternity, what happens after I die, the condition of my heart, if you were to look at that weekend without any of the spiritual implications and only focus on the tangible of what happened, well, then you would miss the point completely of what happened when he went to the cross. You see, the primary reason that Jesus' death and resurrection are of utmost importance, it really has nothing to do with us having better marriages. That comes in the Christian walk, but that's not what that's about. Why Jesus went to that cross, the primary reason really has nothing to do with us raising children who become an asset to our society. It really has nothing to do, the primary reason why Jesus went to the cross has nothing to do with us finding function in a world that often seems to get the best of us, like a lot of us had happen this week. Jesus' work that weekend is not about the natural world we live in. And it's not about the life skills that we need to adhere to make each day and each relationship we have work. Now, to really understand the focus of that intense weekend and the purpose of Jesus' job, we have to access the soul that God has put inside of us. You see, gang, we are all comprised of three parts. We have our physical part. This physical part is like when it gets sick, we go to a doctor. We have our emotional, intellectual part. And that our minds, when that gets sick, we go to a counselor or a psychologist. But there's a third part that we're made up of, and that's the spiritual part of who we are. If our physical part gets messed up, we go to a medical doctor. If our intellectual part misfires, we need a counselor or a psychiatrist. But if our spiritual element needs work, we can only go to one place to find solution. We can only find answers. We can only find healing of our soul through Jesus and what he did on that cross and in that tomb 2,000 years ago. Now, I say this because a lot of people ignore. They just ignore the spiritual element of themselves, and therefore they walk through life with a soul that has never been accessed. They never access their soul. Or as the Bible says, their soul is dead. These individuals, they live physically. You can see them moving around. And they live emotionally. But they really go through life kind of like a tricycle that's missing one of its back wheels. They get by. But when they try to move through life, it doesn't move like it's supposed to. Something's dragging. Something's just not working. Well, friends, God has been telling the world for a long, long time. He has been trying to announce to us that we and point us to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on that weekend all those centuries ago. And God has been trying to tell us for 2,000 years since, but he's also been pointing to it for thousands of years before it took place. Tonight, I want to take this short time that we have to allow each of us to turn our eyes from our physical lives, to move from our thinking and feeling parts, and for just a half hour to turn your attention to your soul, your spiritual element, your spiritual essence. And in that time, let's let God explain to us what his plan is to put that third wheel, to put that third wheel securely on our life tricycle, allowing us to operate the life that he wanted us to operate. I want to turn to Isaiah 53, verse, starting at verse 5. And I want to look here because God gave us this 700 years before Jesus was ever born. And you'll find it fascinating as you read it because it talks right about Jesus. It's very full of details about Jesus, but it's 700 years before Jesus was ever born, and God talks to us about that. God gave it to us so that we would look at that part of us that needs attention, that we would look at our souls. God in this passage gives us a powerful and incredibly detailed prophecy about our spiritual problem. He will also tell us how that problem can be healed. As we read this, know that this foretelling, the weekend of Jesus' death, was written 7 centuries before Jesus. And here's what God says. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6. We're all like sheep who have wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing. We've all gone our own way. And God has piled up all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him, talking about Jesus, on him. But know this, it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. See, he took the punishment, and that made us whole. You see, through his bruises, we get healed. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice, well, it miscarried, and he was let off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people, God's people. It says they buried him with the wicked and threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he, Jesus, give himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. You see, out of that terrible travail of soul, heal, that is, Jesus will see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Therefore, God says, I'll reward him extravagantly. The best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and he didn't flinch. Because he embraced the company of the lowest, he took on his own shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep. Gang, 700 years before it happened, God will explain it all, which he just did. Life's mystery will be solved. Here is what God is telling us about that missing third tricycle wheel, about our souls. Point one, friends, we are separated from God. Isaiah 53:6 says, we're all like sheep. We've wandered off And we've gotten lost. We've done our own thing, and we've gone our own way. Soul issue number one is that from the time we are born, we're walking around without a connection, without a relationship with God. Now, here's the thing. We can know about God. You can know about him. You can even see God's wonder in his creation. But because of us doing our own thing, it said, because of choosing our own way, we have no connection with God. Therefore, our soul lies dormant inside of us, dead, the Bible says. And our tricycle life, well, that drags along, not quite knowing why it's so hard to move through life. Why can't I just get going as we drag that axle? Now, some might say, but what's so bad? What's so bad about us doing our own thing and going our own way? Pastor Drew, I didn't strive for terrible things. In fact, the things in my way were actually pretty sensible. Well, guess what, friends? So did I. But here's the thing. God is not saying that all those things were detestable in this. He's saying they are things that got us lost. Those things were not good because they got us lost. A marriage that God did not tell us to enter into can get you lost. Friendships that God never told you to have can get you lost. Any road we choose, any choice we made, any belief that we picked up that God did not lead us to can and will, according to this passage, get us lost. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, it says. Now here's the thing, gang. Jesus Christ never got lost. Jesus Christ never did his own thing. He never went his own way. He always did what God wanted him to do. Therefore, God says, Jesus is the only one, he's the only one who can make things right for the world. God asked Jesus to take the penalty of our wanderings onto him. All of it. Every single wrong ever committed laid on Jesus, and Jesus will pay the price for all of it. That's why God tells us in verse 9, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true, verse 10, still, it's what God had in mind all along. The plan was that he, Jesus, give himself as an offering for sin so that he'd, that's Jesus, would see life come from it. Your life, my life, more life. And God's plan, it says, will deeply prosper through him, through Jesus. Point two. Friends, Jesus already paid, he already paid for your soul's birth. He did that. Jesus knew that your tricycle needed a third wheel. That is a fully alive and functioning soul. So, Jesus went to the store, and he pre-purchased it for you. As a matter of fact, he's the only one with the ability to buy those wheels. You see, they are virtually impossible to get. And get this, the cost to wipe away all of our wanderings, the cost to wipe away all our wrongdoing, the cost to give birth to anyone's soul, the cost for that third part of us to be energized is someone's life. But not just any life. The cost is a perfect life. One that has never gone its own way. Never done what it wanted for itself. You see, the store that deals in soul restoration doesn't sell directly to the general public. They only sell to one individual, and that was Jesus Christ. He alone has an exclusive membership. He alone can get you your missing piece, and friends, he has done that. He did it by going to the cross. Now, why, you may ask, has he done that? Well, God tells us. He tells us in this passage. Jesus, it says, will procure a family through this. Verse 8 tells us, no one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, then on down to verse 10. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. The Message translation says life, life, and more life. You see, Jesus went to that cross and paid our debt with his life, believing that one day you will stop and consider your soul. He believed one day you would stop and say, I'm missing a tricycle wheel. Jesus went to that cross and paid our debt with his life, believing that one day you would notice that something is misfiring inside your world, that you are scraping through life, dragging that rear axle, and wanting to get your soul fixed. Jesus went to that cross and paid that debt with his life, believing that one day you would look to him, see him on the cross, and understand the words that Isaiah had written about him, the very words we're reading tonight, verse 5. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. Now, I don't think any of us can imagine the pain the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit went through that day. But through it all, they kept their eyes on the prize. They kept focused on what would be able to be offered to you and me. God the Father speaking in verse 11. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, Jesus, my servant, will make many righteous ones as he himself carries the burden of their sins. See, when Jesus finished the end of his mission to save us, he cried out, "It is finished." Friends, point three is this. Jesus' payoff for that Friday, that Good Friday, Jesus' payoff is you. Jesus did it all so that you and I could change our lives that are running spiritually dead to live lives that are reborn with souls that are fully alive and fully aware. Souls that can now run to God and fully embrace him in his fullness. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, and if we are his children, then we are his heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessings and inheritance. And if indeed we share in his suffering, if we accept his death on the cross, so that we may also share in his glory. Friends, Jesus' death on the cross was all about him reaching out his hand to us and making it possible for us to find life at its fullest. To put that third wheel on your life and have your life run like God designed it to run. That is why that day that Jesus went to the cross is so important and why we remember it every year. The question tonight is, have you really considered, have you really given thought to your spirit? Have you asked, is there something missing? Have you asked if there is there power available to me beyond my own willpower? Have you asked what the real truth is about creation and your purpose here? Have you asked where all this came from and where it's all going? And is there a God and can I know him? Friends, it's like people are laboring as they ride their two-wheeled tricycle right in front of the cross of Jesus, with him hanging there. And as they do, they ask themselves the questions that we talked about, but they never look up to Jesus. And if they did, Jesus would have all the answers waiting for them. Tonight, we want to take the time to look up. Tonight, we want to remember what Jesus did on the cross. And if you're here tonight, and you've never allowed Jesus to fix your two-wheeled, struggling life, tonight is the night to ask him to fix it. We do that by admitting our need for him. We acknowledge that we have indeed gotten lost by doing our own thing. We have indeed gone our own way. And our sins are what put him up on that cross, like we read in Isaiah 53. And then we surrender to the truth of Isaiah 53. We ask that his wounds make us whole, that our believing in him as God's son is the payment for our sins. And we submit ourselves to his family. We embrace God's adoption of us and ask him to be our father and our mentor. He tells us that when Jesus sees that, he says, it was worth it. And he's glad he did it. Every time someone comprehends and embraces what he did on the cross, every time someone understands their need for spiritual birth, and every time someone turns to Jesus as their Savior and their King, Jesus says, it was worth it. And I'm glad I did it. Before we come to the communion table, would you pray with me? Lord, we want to take this opportunity right now to look up, to acknowledge why you went to that cross. And Lord, if there are any here tonight who need to surrender to you, who need to mark the moment in their life of having their soul come to life by touching you, I pray they would right now, with their hearts, reach out and say yes to you. That in their hearts they would say yes to your gift of forgiveness. Yes to your leadership. Yes to your way, your truth, and your life. Amen. Friends, giving thought and reverence to the incredible event of Jesus going to the cross is not something that we only think about once in our life. Jesus wanted us to constantly remember what he did. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that we are to continually give thought and reverence to Jesus' sacrifice and our ongoing need for forgiveness. Paul wrote that the communion table is a time of refocus. Paul wrote, before coming to this table and commemorating Jesus' death, he says to examine your motives, test your heart, and come to this meal in holy awe. So, as the band plays, I'm going to ask Mr. Robert to serve a communion with Rob, and take the time in your heart to talk to God. Do business with your soul. And then when you're ready, come down front, receive the two elements, then take them back to your seats, and we'll take them together. But this is a moment for you to focus on God. What we have studied tonight, what we looked at, as I said before, was written 700 years, given to the Israelites, 700 years before Jesus was even born. But then he was born. 700 years later, and he knew the plan, and he knew what his job was. He was going to rescue us. He believed someday people would look to him. Even 2,000 years later, would continue to look to him, that he would give birth to our souls, as he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You must have that spirit born. Let me put that third tricycle wheel on, and man,
will your life run? On the night that Jesus was betrayed, it says, Jesus took some bread, and he broke it, and he gave thanks to God for it. When he broke it into pieces, he said, this is my body, which is given for you. He knew by his bruises we would be healed. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. And as that night waned on, it says, in the same way, Jesus took a cup of wine, and after supper, he said, this cup, this is the new deal. This is the new covenant. It's between God and his people, you and God. An agreement, he called it, confirmed with my blood, purchased by Jesus' blood. He said, do this in remembrance of me often as you drink it. For every time that you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's do that together. Lord, I want to thank you that this amazingly well thought out, thousands of years in the making mission came about. Thank you for allowing us to have our spiritual side, our souls born. And now, Lord, we need your help to help move forward under the strength of that soul, to do as you call us to do, to live the life that you want us to have, life to the full. Lord, we know that you are the one who paved the way. You are the one who made it possible for us to understand the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Lord, let us spend the last few minutes thanking you through song for what you did. And I pray that we made you smile for letting you know that we do still look to you. And thank you for doing what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand? Lord, when we needed someone who could go to the cross and pay for our sins, he said, who do we have? You said, I am. We said, who's worthy? Who's worthy to pay for everyone's sin? Who is strong enough to have all the sins of the world put on them? And you said, I am. And when you wrote that as we turn to you, you would be happy you did that and glad. Who could possibly trade all that for us? And you said, I will. Amen. And I did. Lord, I pray that tonight we would continue to get a better handle on who it is you want us to be. And I pray that you would have us yield to the cross of Jesus Christ, and that we would learn to live the life you've called us to live through the power of your Spirit. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd give us time with one another. We enjoy the family that you put us in. We enjoy each other's company. And Lord, if there are any who need prayer, bring them down front. I am here. The prayer team is on the right. Lord, let them come down and say, I don't quite get it, but I'm close. Have them come on down. And Lord, I pray that you take our lives and make them what you want it to be. Let this Easter week be one that stays in our hearts when we think about what you did and how you were the great I am and you are to this day. Amen. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock.